and welcome to the Trash Tapes Podcast as part of the Enigmatic Productions Network. If you love bad cinema and incredible deep dives into cult film, then you have come to the right place. So if you like what you hear and want to support us, you can do so by donating some funds to our Buy Me a Coffee website, along with the Acast supporter feature. All of these can be found in the description below. And now, on with the show.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now, here's an interesting factoid as well. Do you know when they finally reveal like what they're going to do, right? And they're doing the plan. Do you know that room where all three of them are like on a table with a low light at the bottom?
Yeah.
At the back, because it's shadowy, and probably because we've got a bad version of it, but in the original version of it, like in the proper version of it, there is an actual cameraman hiding in the back where the shelves are, and you can see him.
Yeah, so I suppose because we watched it in low quality, some of the imperfections will probably be lost on us, like hidden and stuff. Because,
but an actual camera person's hiding literally in the room, and it couldn't. Oh fucking hell! It's brilliant.
Mind me.
It's all fine. I'm not being weird. I'm just trying to get a good angle. That's all. It's like I'm trying to get tits McGee.
Trying to get the ass angle.
We need more butt in this movie. Stop watching that trash!
One man's trash is another man's torture. Starring Johan Chappal as the inflictor of pain and Edward Harvey as the victim. From Studio Enigmatic comes the Trash Tapes.
Everyone, and welcome to the brand new episode of the Trash Tape. The one man's trash is another man's torture. And this time around, I've just got my bathing suit ready, got my towel sorted, as we're about to go and do sort of a summary episode. I'm Johan Chappal. I am the inflictor of pain, and this is my victim, Edward Harvey, who you're not dressed for the beach. I'm disappointed.
No, I'm in hardcore plaid.
That is not beach wear. I told you we need to get summary, and it's not fair.
Yeah, I shouldn't have got my Speedos out, eh?
No, please don't. You know, that you can hide for a bit, all right? There has been a little bit of a delay on this episode, and I just want to kind of feel like I'm a bit... I apologise for that one, mostly because a lot of stuff got in the way, but it's also summertime, it's warm, and stuff happens, and so on. So
we're just creeping into, like, the last sort of section of summer, so we've just creeped in with a summer movie, haven't we? Just like...
Yeah.
It's really... I mean, September now is kind of like... end of summer, really, but...
Yeah, because we
want to cling on to it, don't we?
We're literally recording this on the 1st of September, right?
Yeah.
So this is literally... We are the end of August. We're going into September. We're getting to my birthday month. So that's something to think about. But there's a lot of stuff has happened within that month. For example, obviously the Wicker Man episode came out, and that was awesome. It's done surprisingly well and gained traction. But the reason why it's doing very well is because we're now on Spotify.
Yeah.
We're now on Spotify, but it shows, and that is doing wonders. Apparently, I've checked it out. Now, we've got about 18 or 19% more listeners just because of Spotify.
Well, Spotify is like the place people go to, well, mainly for music, but for anything. Now that they've realised, people realise there's podcasts on there.
Yeah.
They just, while they're on there, they just listen to podcasts, don't they?
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, it's the only thing we haven't conquered just yet is YouTube. But YouTube will take a bit of time. We won't do that just yet. Because at the moment, we've got Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Buzzsprout, we're on Mixcloud, we're on flipping... We're on so many platforms. Acast.
I think basically it's just... Most digital platforms available, we're on.
In fact, I think now Alexia, you know that whole thing with like Amazon, is like Alexia say, you know, that kind of robot thing. If you actually say it, I found this out, apparently we can do this. If you say, Alexia, play the Trash Tapes, we are the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, that's cool, because we have actually got an original name, which is good. If you put in our hashtag, the Trash Tapes, it only comes up with our stuff. There's no like muddy kind of area where somewhere else is called something the Trash Tape. So you've got some other bits that come in. It's literally just what we've posted.
I know. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm. So, yeah, I'm just good. We're slowly going to take over the universe with our very terrible taste. so what the movie we decided today is mainly was kind of inspired of the fact that the movie The Meg's come out.
Mm.
And, you know...
Just Statham versus shark,
which is an awesome premise in itself, right? It's Jason Statham versus a dinosaur shark, right? But I said to myself, you know what? That actually looks a bit like fun. Mm. That actually looks like it's actually going to be good. So I said, fuck it. There's another Megalodon movie I know of, and that one is the one we're going to review today, which is Shark Attack 3. Megalodon.
Yeah.
It survived the Ice Age, and it's been living in darkness for 60 million years. Nothing has ever disturbed its perfect peace. Until now.
This shark isn't just some rare species. It can grow in excess of 75 feet long. It's supposed to be extinct.
You're telling me one of these things is swimming off my coast?
People pay a lot of money to come down here. They expect to use everything, including the beaches.
We've got a 60-foot shark swimming off our coast that's not going to go away.
We've got a shark heading for the shore. Get everyone out of the water now.
You knew something was dangerous down there, and you let them dive anyway.
Go tell your story. Who would believe you? A disgruntled employee with stolen confidential documents?
We know the Meg's attracted to the cable.
If that cable goes to full power, there is no telling how many of these we're going to have on our hands.
Can't let that system go online.
Full throttle now!
Mark 44 torpedo. It'll blow a hole clear to the hull of a battleship.
No! Oh my God!
So, Shark Attack 3 Megalodon is a bit personal to me.
Mm.
Because it's when I used to do bad movie nights back at home, yeah. And like invite my friends over, Shark Attack 3 was the first one we watched. And that instantly, and everyone was laughing. It was a corker.
Did you own it at one point then?
I know, I rented it DVD from the Blockbuster close to me.
Blockbuster.
I'm bringing it back again, you know. I must have been, 16, 17? Went over, got to Blockbuster, found Shark Attack 3 Megalodon, and I showed it to my friends. Getting plastered. It's
awesome.
Perfect. So the fact that I've now been able to show that to you is... It's got to me. But the only thing is now is, what the heck do you think of it?
Well, I actually had a really good time watching it.
Mm.
And I can see why a lot of people have put it in that sort of, oh, this is my favourite so bad it's good movie type of thing. Because it's just famously bad, but it's very enjoyable.
It is. And what's interesting about it, actually, is I found out about Shark Attack 3 Megalodon through the internet, right?
Mm.
So I found out through the internet, and someone's saying, "Oh, you gotta watch this." It's like, really? What the fuck is this? Mm. And all I saw was one clip. What clip do you think it might have been that may have said, "I need to watch this fucking movie"?
The chat up line.
The chat up line, yeah. We're going to jump a bit now, but there is a famous chat-up line in the movie that
don't ruin that quite just yet.
Not just
that's
yet.
A highlight. That
that's one of the highlights. But I saw that clip and said, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I need to watch this movie. No one says this.
That's actually the only clip I've seen of the movie.
But also, here's the thing, actually. Beforehand. But I remember seeing, like, after a while, I saw, like, weird, like, clips on the internet about this shark movie, like some of the shark attack clips. Mm. And they were going viral. Like, they're going, like, they were in the millions. And, yeah. And the funny thing was, some of them go like, oh, no, it's, like, really, oh, it's from a really shit movie. But I know there was one, this was the thing, famously, and this is a fact I'm going to throw out there right now, right? When that movie came out, right, someone did a hoax using this movie.
Yeah.
Where they said a clip from the film of when the shark randomly eats a fucking boat. Mm. Right, you know that bit, right? Sent it over to a news station in the United States. Like, and claimed it to be factual. And they launched it like an actual piece of news for a week until people realised that, no, that's from a movie.
Was that a publicity stunt to get the film, people talking about the film?
No, it's just a guy being a dick.
Oh, right.
It's a guy like, you'd be really fucking funny. You know, because it was around this time where, you know, Mexico was actually getting shark problems, right? Mm. So they did this as the thing. They just took the clip of the giant shark eating a whole boat, by the way. It's a whole fucking boat. and then just sent that over to like a news station. And it spread around some of the bits of the United States. And it was like that for a couple of days until someone said, that's from a fucking movie. You all got trolled. That was brilliant.
Fantastic.
So what's this? What is this fucking movie? Right, okay, so this movie is Shark Attack 3 Megalodon. It is a sequel to the Shark Attack series. The first two films, Shark Attack and Shark Attack 2, actually had cinema releases, right? So those two were actually launched in cinemas.
Oh, right.
The third one was straight to DVD, which makes sense.
But the funny thing is, surely the third one now is the most infamous.
Right? I don't know the other two.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it was launched, it's like, oh, they probably knew, like, this is a piece of shit. So they went straight to video, right? And here's something. When you watch that movie, yeah, we watched a rather pixelated, rough version of it because we couldn't get the DVD on time. Mm. And there's no streaming sites that could do it properly, legitimately. So I had to find a version that felt like it came, that looked like it was being streamed on dial-up. But when you looked at that movie, if I didn't tell you what year it was made, what kind of era do you think it was made on?
It looks like sort of something like 98 or something like that.
Yeah, it had moments over very 90s, right?
Yeah.
This movie was made in 2002, 2003.
Mm.
All right? Which you could say, it's still got that thing, but there's some really 90s bullshit throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Right? So it was made by that. It was notably famous it's notable for featuring things like John Barrowman, who we now know is famous for, you know, for Doctor Who, Torchwood and Arrow, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah. So so it's a very powerful for him as well. And it stars a few mixed characters and actors, a lot of them who have never really acted in their lives. Which makes sense for some of the characters. What's interesting, though, is that the actress lead, Jenny McShane, right? She starred in the first Shark Attack movie.
All right.
But played a completely different role.
What the fuck?
So she's been in two movies playing two different things. So if you were going to do some kind of weird Shark Attack continuity, you could say twin sister.
Yeah.
Or something stupid like that.
I mean, you can get away with that if it's a minor character, but if it's like, you know, a big character, a big actor playing a big role in two movies. It's just so weird.
Though. I know, right? But I'm not saying there's any kind of aficionados in the Shark Attack fandom. Like someone goes like, what the fuck is this? That's bollocks. You are this character, you know? Oh, man. So this movie was launched and it basically got launched. It was basically under the radar, right? So no one really got to hear of this until the internet properly became a thing, right? Because this film is notable because of certain clips that became popular around the internet and because of that news scam I told you about, right? It's due to the completely unconvincing special effects, the size-changing shark, because the shark has changed size multiple times, and the bizarre dialogue, which as we'll go through, we'll understand why, right?
Yeah, it's because of the stock footage used.
Yeah.
It's impossible to determine the size of the shark. Like, times. It's like, well, how big is it? I don't know.
It doesn't look intimidating enough.
Right.
Here we go.
Ready for 360p power.
Yes. It's just going to look like we just got it. It'll just look like it came out of an 80s VHS tape, 205.
But the thing is, with analog, it's even though it's low quality, it's smooth. There's no blocks. It's not pixels, is it?
Yeah, so this is going to be a little bit. Yeah. But you know what? It was either this or buying the DVD. Mm. And the DVD was extortionate, actually.
Yeah.
Finding a good price for this, right? It cost £8 for a DVD of this one.
Fucking hell.
Maybe because it's become one of those movies that's so rare now that you have to, like, ah.
It's funny, when I was reading some of the YouTube comments,
yeah,
they were like, it's like people clearly didn't get why people appreciate it. You know, people were saying obvious stuff like, don't watch this movie, guys. The acting is terrible and it's not a great movie. It's like, yeah, and we know this.
It's called Shark Attack 3 Megalodon. It's not Oscar worthy. Uh-oh. So most of the movie was, they admittedly dumped with stock footage. That's what it's mentioned here. They mentioned it was stock footage. And the reason why they had is because they only could afford a couple of visual effect shots of the shark. Mm. And one really unconvincing puppet.
Yeah.
Right? That's all they could afford. So they had to manipulate everything else with stock footage. But they had to go through thousands of shark footage in order to find the ones that act in the same way as they wanted to. Mm. They even tried to film some actual sharks live on set, which failed miserably. Mm. Which means you've got, like, the same shark being played by four different sharks. They're all four different sharks, all of different size.
Yeah.
So basically, the money and all that kind of stuff kind of didn't really, it wasn't really there. The visual effect shots were funny because they only had three or four visual effect shots of a shark, like CGI'd shark, right? Mm. They couldn't do any others because they ran out of money.
Yeah.
So this is why, as you later on graph throughout the movie, it's probably you notice as well, they use the same visual effect shots like four times.
Mm.
Like the one being eaten, the guy eating when the shark gets eats an entire fucking boat. That shot's used four times.
They just replace what it's eating, don't they?
They just photoshopped it into their mouth instead, yeah. And that is brilliant. And that's the kicker of this movie. The movie itself is more the fact that it's the shark that does this movie, because in terms of the visual effects and everything else, it's just garbage. But I honestly would recommend that bit, at least just to watch these clips. And if you can't do it, just watch the whole clips, but it's just great. So other than that, though, there isn't a lot in terms of facts about this movie. But the one thing that John Barrowman admittedly said, that John Barrowman said he only did the movie for the money. At the time, he was pretty broke and needed the cash. Yeah. And he's very, very embarrassed for being involved in any of it.
Yeah.
Which he said, for example, he said that when last time we talked, when Jonathan Ross, who is already a famous film buff as it is, mentioned this to him.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I loved you in things like Doctor Who and Torchwood and stuff, but I really liked you in Shark Attack 3 Megalodon.
And then he's hanging his head in shame.
Yeah, it's just like...
The thing is, because other than his, like, cheesy game shows and stuff, he's done quite respectable acting roles after this, hasn't he? Like,
yeah, because he's done a lot of TV, lot of good TV, like Doctor Who, Torchwood, Arrow. He's in good television.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if you want to be seen as a professional, you don't want on your CV, really, that you did Shark Attack 3 Megalodon. He's been trying to hide it under the rug for so long. Do it with some really bad movies, right? You always notice sometimes at the beginning, you're like, actually, it doesn't look half bad right now, right?
Yeah, the setup is like, I read on YouTube, on the comments, someone was saying the entire budget went on the introduction.
It looks good. Yeah. It's like they got the setup, they got the submarine, the boat.
Don't worry, we'll make up the lost time.
Isn't Porter done with that cable patch yet?
Repeat, this is Beltris.
100 yards.
I love you just playing around with the cigar, putting it in. It's serious, put it back in. Oh, it's even more serious.
the resolution is so low that it kind of looks like a Cadbury's chocolate finger.
Do you remember as a kid you used to have those like fake cigarette matchbox things? They were candy. Uh-oh. Here it comes! Do you see the...
Wow.
Wow! Look at that.
I can see blood.
Come in. Oh, he's properly turned to sushi there. So, what happens in this movie? So, it first starts off where it seems like there's this corporation called the Apex Corp or something like that, right? Apex Communications. And the Apex Communications are trying to do all this underwater wiring, as it were, for, like, you know, fiber optics, which is, you know, what it's a thing, you know, like because Virgin's doing it and stuff like that, right? So, for, large piping. But...
They're just testing out some new technology, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like, this is going to be the fastest way to communicate through telephone and internet ever. It's so fast and clean and smooth and whatever. It's obviously with bad movies. And you know when they try to explain like something that's supposed to be really technical, but they don't?
Yeah.
Like, they don't really go through any detail.
Well, they don't understand the technology yet, do they, really? They just kind of just make it up as they go along.
It's like, all the electrofibers go through the shigamadoodle and the whatchamacallit, goes through under the water pipes, and there we go, boom, 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 you've got yourself a toaster. Is that what it sounds like? So, the opening shot is what clearly what seems to me where they spend all the fucking money in this movie.
Yeah, because the movie opens and you're thinking, oh, it's quite respectable. I'm surprised. It looks like an average kind of movie, this opening.
It looks like they spent all the money on it, because they go down, they seem to go off this giant barge, and they go into the water to try and fix up and add more to the piping. Mm. But then something mysterious happens, where the... I love it when the guy on the radar is just talking, it's like, oh no! There seems to be a thing coming, and then the other guy comes in holding the cigar.
Got a Cadbury's chocolate finger in his mouth.
Because it's not a real cigar. It's not beefy enough for a real cigar, is it?
No, it kind of talks like this. A bit like Mo from The Simpsons. It kind of talks like a really bad guy. Really bad. He's like one of the actors in the film where there's a few of these where it looks like they've just totally replaced their dialogue.
Yeah.
It's not like they've replaced it with a different actor by the sound of it. It doesn't even sound like match up with who's there visually.
It feels like as well, though, that if that was not dubbed, like some of those bits, then the direction on this is garbage. Mm. Because obviously the weird sea captain who's going like, bah, she, bah, whatever it is, has been told... It basically looks like he's just reading the lines, but you say, read it like Mo Sizlak or read like your Al Capone. You're like, oh no, there seems to be, oh, it's turning this way, meh. And just, it's like, what? Okay. By that point, we're going, okay, this is definitely something.
Yeah, he's just like a stereotypical sort of sea captain guy, isn't he?
Yeah. What happens is a big giant shark comes in. We don't know at the beginning what the size of the shark is or whatever, because it fucking changes throughout the movie. And it just goes and just eats a guy. Mm. And we couldn't see very well, not because of the poor quality of the video we watched, but also I think it's because it just did a lot of shaking. One shot of, which I think is another visual effect shot, of the mouth just chewing.
Yeah.
Did you notice like it has to look like really fake teeth just appear on the screen once in a while? Like, chomp.
Yeah. I mean, you can see what they were trying to do. They're trying to do that thing where they don't reveal so much so that it keeps it sort of mysterious and the tension going. But it just doesn't, it's not paying off, is it? It's not kind of working
but
too much.
But this is the thing, and you were talking about this on the podcast while we were doing the commentary. But it is true. Let's actually diverge for a little second. Like, what do we think of shark movies in general now? Because obviously, Jaws is the granddaddy of shark movies, right?
Yeah.
It's one that's done well. And all the mistakes and all the things that happened in Jaws were done in a way that was so masterful that you never noticed it, right? Mm. Like, the whole idea is that Steven Spielberg actually knew that his shark model was a bit rubbish. Mm. That's why you never got to see a lot of the shark. Because they said, like, keep it in their imagination. And so when the shark does pop up, you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
Did not see that coming. You know, and the whole thing about getting him off the beach and all that and got Jaws and stuff, that is the granddaddy of it. Mm. So then what do you think about all the kind of shark movies that came after that?
Well, they're just obviously just trying to emulate that, aren't they? But the thing is with Jaws was everything about it was so masterfully done. Mm. Like, and the acting was great. Like, yeah. And the story's good. The pacing is fantastic. And if you don't get all that bang on, it just falls dead, doesn't it? Like, yeah, you have to. It's a combination of things that has to be perfect for it to work.
It's a perfect storm of a film, right? Because to be honest, that movie could have gone either way. It's like, imagine a world where Jaws did terribly because they did some bad choices. Like they showed more of the shark, or the acting was taken too comically than serious, you know, or something. Like if something was a little off, imagine we would have a whole series of different things where one shark movies wouldn't exist, but blockbusters wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Because like Jaws didn't happen. Fuck, you know? So, but ever since then, let's say, like the other Jaws films, for example, they never really recaptured that one, didn't they?
No, although I do like, I've got a soft spot for some of the other Jaws movies.
Such as?
Which is the one with Michael Caine in?
Four. Jaws 4, this time is personal.
It's so funny. There's a 3D one as well, isn't
there? Yeah, that's the third one. Yeah. Where, the thing is, apparently, where basically Jaws attacks SeaWorld. That was funny. And the thing is, because it was doing 3D, it was 80s 3D, so the shark would be swimming in slow motion going towards the camera, and it'd be cutting back and going, oh my God, it's heading this way! Yeah. Oh no, it's still coming! And then just hit. I was like, oh God. But interesting fact about Jaws 4, right? Michael Caine, right? Only did the role because he read the script and the first line he said was Bahamas. So he literally just went to that role and goes, this was a trip to the Bahamas. He didn't care about the movie whatsoever. He just did it because it was a free trip to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Which is fucking brilliant. So, I think because how Jaws did so well and all the other ones just started to go crappily, that it no one ever can take shark movies seriously anymore, right? Which is why you then get things like Deep Blue Sea, which is another classic one. Deep Blue Sea is a classic.
Was that a genetically modified
shark? Genetically modified shark.
Yeah.
That it's the only reason why you watch that movie is because you got LL Cool J in it and Samuel L. Jackson who just gets eaten by this fuck off shark right after doing this very powerful monologue. He does this very powerful speech and they're like, oh God, it's fucking moving. It's powerful. And it's like, oh wait, so first we need to plug up this hole and just gets fucking eaten.
Yeah. And then they've tried other things with the genre, haven't they? Like, they've done, like, Open Water, is that a shark movie?
Yeah, that would be a shark film, because it's basically two people left in shark-infested waters.
Mm. I've not seen it, but apparently, that's a found footage movie, isn't it? And there's one more recent one, The Shallows, is what
I've seen.
Not seen that either, but they've tried to do different things with it. Not all of them are copying Jaws, but like,
But you can kind of feel like it's rare that shark movies are taken as something serious, right? Mm. So, because people say, oh, we want to bring fear back into sharks again. But sharks are already scary creatures as it is. They are dinosaurs of the sea. So, you know, you don't have to make it so, like, we've got to do this again. But the problem with this now is that they also realize that shark movies are also surprisingly cheap to make.
Yeah.
All you're going to do is build a one or two props of a shark, like a fin or the mouth, or whatever it is, and CGI it. Now, so this is why we get things like all the Sharknado movies. Mm. While we get like a giant shark, like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, or Sharktopus versus Were-Whale, or House Shark. That's the one you sent to me.
That looks like a joke, but it's a real movie. It's been made.
House Shark, a movie where a shark is able to go on land and decides to terrorize one homeowner. What? It's so stupid. And then we discovered two-headed shark, three-headed shark, four-headed shark, like, five-headed shark, six-headed shark.
It's a metaphor for being on the property ladder.
Yes, yes! Because when you were describing that, it's like, oh God, it's just like you got that, you have six-headed shark. You've got Mecha Shark. Mecha Shark versus robot something. It's like, you can see how it's ballooned to, like, ridiculous. Oh, there's one called Demon Shark.
Yeah.
Demon Shark. Devil Shark, that's it, I believe it is. Well, basically, it's a shark that gets possessed by the devil.
Mm.
So, in other words, they also not only do they have to kill the shark, they also need to call an exorcist.
God. So, out of all that, this is multitude of choice there for shark movies. Why did you opt for this one, then?
This is because this, to me, is where I personally think shark movies went so kilter. And people started to realise that bad shark movies are profitable and funny.
Mm.
Because Shark Attack 3 Megalodon is very cultish for literally how bad it is, right?
Yeah.
But you can almost see how all the other really bad shark movies after that are trying to do the same. Mm. Or if they're not trying to do the same, they're poking fun of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I said, it's like all the Sharknado movies. The reason why I don't like all the Sharknado movies is because it knows it's a joke from the get-go, right?
Yeah, and that's why we would kind of avoid that on this show, because it's like, we tend to like accidental
yes.
humour, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah, one's it's like the movie's taking itself seriously, but it's just a bit shit, right? Because Sharknado knows it's rubbish. The title itself knows. In fact, all the subtitles for all the other ones, are they? It's like Sharknado, here we go again. Isn't Sharknado, holy shit.
Isn't the main character the guy from Beverly Hills 90210?
Yes! Yeah. And Tara Reid!
Yeah.
Who's playing like a marine biologist, which is, you can't believe that anyway.
She went off in the world, didn't she?
Well, she's put something in the world. I don't know what it is.
But what's weird with these movies is they're not even on the beach anymore, are they? The sharks are just kind of like...
We've moved beyond the beach and we're now going on the property ladder. It's stupid. It's so stupid. So that's why I picked this one. Oh, God. And then... 6 months later, we're in Mexico. Because obviously when you think of Mexico, that's the first thing that pops into your head, doesn't it? Get a mariachi band in here, stat!
Let's just throw in all the stereotypes.
We haven't seen someone a sombrero yet, so we'll wait.
Right. Here, Ben, baby.
Your usual. Hello, John Barrowman. And already he's getting the ladies, which is odd. Everyone here is a little bit too perky, right?
Mm.
For me, it's just like, everyone's happy. Oh, look, this misogyny. Oh, look, the stereotyping. We're all happy to be here. That's stock footage. What? What's happening?
So you got an old guy fishing and they're like making out in the background.
I think she's grappling like his nuts. What's happening? It's like, how do you not know that they're banging right behind you? Uh-oh. Okay. So once that happens, one of the guys gets eaten by a shark, we're not entirely sure about him because the shark changes multiple times, as we know. So then, cut. 6 months later, we're now in Mexico.
Mm.
And I love how we get introduced into it, because all you just hear is literally the entire, like a full, like, band. It's a literal mariachi band, kicks off. And that's the first thing you hear, and the first thing you see, and then you just go into this resort, and it's like, they're all supposed to be on this cool Mexican resort on the beach, right?
Yeah.
And then we're introduced to John Barrowman.
Yeah.
Now, John Barrowman in this film... One of the things we know of John Barrowman is that he is incredibly camp in some things we've seen on him.
Mm.
So, like, when he's doing game shows or he's doing hosting stuff.
Yeah.
And they played around with that on TV. right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you know, Captain Harkness and all that, you know, he's a bisexual man. He's not even bisexual. I think he's just, like, space sexual, whatever it is called, where he's like, he loves all species, right? He loves everything, right? He just, when he finds something really attractive, he just wants to put something in him. just like, oh, you got tentacles? We're fine. You know, and in Arrow as well, there's a bit of ambiguity, and there's quite a few things as well. So they do play on that, so therefore he can be a bit more himself, right?
Yeah.
And he's a good actor in that way. But to him, knowing this is before he got really big and Noban, how we know how he acts, it's so bizarre seeing him being like this cheeky, chappy, flirty sort of character.
He's just an action hero straight man, isn't he? Meant to be in this.
Yeah, like... yeah, but he has a sort of smile that's a bit more of a cheeky chappy.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah. It's like, John, stop. It's almost like he's trying too hard. Mm. It's like saying, like, he's trying too hard. It's like, no, I'm totally straight. I'm totally straight. And I'm not saying like that. It's just, it feels like he's trying too hard, or the direction is really shit to do that. So we're interested in John Barrowman. And he seems to be like, it's like a lifeguard kind of thing of the beach.
Yeah, well, the movie is kind of ripping off Jaws all the time. He's like the main character of Jaws, isn't he? Like, you know, protector of the beach type of thing.
Protector of the beaches.
like a lifeguard, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or in charge of security on the beach area. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so he's there and he's just going around and he's with his buddy, his Mexican buddy, who is his bitch. There's a whole weird conversation where John Barrowman says, it's like, well... And it's like, so why are you always so harsh on me, man? Because the guy sounds like a Scarface ripoff. So why are you so harsh on me, man? Why are you doing my buzz, man? And the other guy goes, well, because you're my... And John Barrowman says, well, because you're my bitch.
What does he say to that?
Oh, yeah. You wish, man.
Yeah.
You wish. And John Barrowman's cheeky, raising an eyebrow, going, well, maybe. It's awful.
Why do I let you talk me into things like this?
Because you're my bitch.
You wish. Oh, he wishes? Maybe.
I love that. Because you're my bitch. You wish. It's not really camp, isn't it?
Of course it is. This is what makes it funnier, because I'm not saying that John Barrowman's not a great actor, right? But knowing how John Barrowman's like... Mm. Like, have you ever seen him, like, when he's, like, a host of a TV show? Mm. God, he's as camp as a row of pink tents.
Yeah.
So, just to see him go, like, well, you're my bitch. Like, well... It's fucking great.
I think they probably cast him as, like, a straight leading man, because... He's traditionally good looking, and he kind of looks like a leading man, like a normal kind of leading man, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he also looks a little bit too cheeky.
Yeah,
you know, because when he smiles, that's not a smile like hey. That's more like oh, I'm doing something a little naughty. And the funny thing is, so here's an interesting factoid as well, right? Okay, even though, and this is probably the reason why as well, why the movie is badly dubbed. And a bit off, okay? The movie is not a fully American production, okay? Do you want to know what the other two production countries were? The other people who applied actors and scenery and other things as well. South Africa and Israel in particular.
Okay.
So a lot of actors from Israel were involved in this movie.
So they are probably the ones that sound obviously dubbed then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you've got four main actors that are clearly, well, about two, you've got three main actors who are actually American, right? The rest of them are from random countries, but predominantly Israel and Poland and South Africa.
Yeah.
And so, and oddly enough, this is the funny thing, we're in Mexico, not a single Mexican. Other than one actor who is actually Spanish.
The older guy that he ends up being like the mentor type character.
Yes.
He's really familiar. He's been in lots of stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah.
So this is why, for example, the Mexican, you know his buddy, he's supposed to be like his Mexican guy, right? Mm. He is not from Mexico. He's from Bulgaria. So it's Bulgaria, and I think what happens is that maybe he's trying to do a Mexican accent, failed miserably, and this is why, which is something we notice in the movie, a lot of the actors have been dubbed over, and dubbed over terribly.
Yeah.
Because you've got a whole bunch of Bulgarian, Polish, Israeli actors whose English isn't their first language, because it's probably cheaper to do that, or the main sort of financial crux is Israeli.
So it was really weird, like, then, because some of the actors that were responding to their dialogue, if it was in their own language,
yes,
they were kind of just
like winging it.
Winging it, because they don't really know what they've said unless they speak the language. Mm. So they kind of just like, okay, I guess I remembered my line, so I'll just repeat my line.
Yes, so there's no like actual understanding of what they were saying.
No.
Okay, so these two go off into the middle of the sea because John Barrowman says, like, I'm going to get you some lobster.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some lobster fishing. So he goes to the lobster fishing and notices the big pipe has been built. But he finds he's trying to get a couple of things. He's trying to chase down the lobster, and he finds a fairly big shark tooth.
Yeah. At this stage, it's just kind of fairly big, isn't it?
Like, yeah, so it's just, it's about a couple of inches.
Yeah.
So let's say about 3 inches, which is quite a big tooth, right? So about 3 inches. So you're like, oh, shit, that's big. Right? So, it's about 2 or 3 inches, grabs it, and then obviously the security of the pipe of Apex Communications goes in and says, stop playing around with our fucking pipes!
Yeah.
Basically. But they say, oh, the shark's trying to eat it, though. And it's like, oh, it'll be fine. Nah, no, it won't be.
Do you think those pipes are quite shallow, aren't they? Like, they don't seem to go down that deep.
It should be, like, fair, yeah, I thought they would go, like, stupid deep.
You think you'd have, like, those pipes, you'd have, like, the cabling, like, you test it out. You'd have it, like, so low that people aren't going to interfere with it, kind of thing.
Yeah, but
people are just tripping all over it, aren't they? It's in the way. Look at this, cables everywhere.
No, I'm just having a thought, like, someone just walk and go, whoop, oh, that's shallow. Early noughties internet. All websites look like this. It's like, oh, what? That is not how a camera works! He saw that, like, scan.
Just did a perfect scan of it from a photo.
And it was the wrong direction as well! This is what I love about some of these movies, like, you know how in the 90s and noughties, how they thought, like, the internet would work, and how, like, technology would work, and it's fucking bollocks. Like, what was it? Oh, man, it's just fantastic. I wish it worked like that way. My God.
I mean, if they were going to do it like that, why didn't they just have him have, like, a scanner, and he just put it in a scanner?
Too high-tech for him.
Yeah. Because the scanner image would look similar to that. Like.
Yeah, it would do, but, you know, no. It could only afford a camera. John Barrowman's got the shark tooth. He looks at it and thinks, that's a fucking big one. So he goes and tries to introduce it to the internet. How does he scan his fucking tooth?
It's absolutely hilarious because he's searching on there and it's got these, like, sort of, like, old-fashioned kind of, like, you know,
1998 websites.
Yeah, website. But then he goes, nah, I can't recognise it. I need to get it into the computer. And he's got, like, a little digital camera, like a proper sort of 2000-era digital camera right next to the computer plugged in. And he, like, takes a picture, like, right close to the lens, like, so that it's completely blocking what he's taking a picture of. And, like, it just appears on the screen like a perfectly scanned tooth.
It's brilliant! I wish cameras worked like that.
Yeah.
It's the perfect, like, it doesn't even show his hand, like, holding it. He's holding it diagonally. He's not holding it straight up. And it apparently goes, perfect tooth scan.
Yeah, I mean, how could they think that people would just accept that that's how technology works.
What I find really funny is, like, why is it, only until very recently, why is it that a lot of, like, movies do not understand technology? Mm. What I mean is, like, why do they not understand how the internet works? Why do not people understand how cameras work? Like,
I mean, you can understand it if it's, like, futuristic technology, because it's not available yet, so they kind of just got to guess how that would work.
Yeah, but
when it's stuff that is available...
Yeah, it's like, the internet was there, and a camera is not a scanner! Stupid! It's like, do you know what? It's also sometimes when things get a bit dumb. Like, do you know that famous sort of... it's a meme now, but do you remember back in the day, you know that song with Nelly and Kelly Rowland? You know, a really bad, terrible song. Do you remember the music video for it? You might not remember it, but there's a bit where Kelly Rowland...
Oh, is it where she's looking at, like...
An Excel page to send a text message.
Yeah, it's like the early days of texting, right?
Yeah, but it's all like... It's basically
like a PDA, isn't it, kind of thing?
Yeah, but what it is, you know, she's got this BlackBerry or something, right? And texting is normal, right? You could text on a BlackBerry. But it seems like she's writing the text on Excel. And then she's annoyed.
It's a spreadsheet. Yeah.
And what's funny is, like, then she's annoyed that no one responded to her text. I'm like, are you sure you sent it? Did you just write it on a fucking spreadsheet? What's wrong with you, you dipshit?
Yes, you're right there. That is an example of just technology just being used oddly in like media, you know.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like,
well, there's so much to do. I have to catalog all this stuff and get it down to the prep area.
Bonnie's been waiting 65 million years. I think she can wait a half hour while you grab a...
Why does he sound like kind of a drunk Christopher Walken?
I'll see you tomorrow.
You know. Oh. Yeah. This way.
Yeah, his voice. It's like it's been dumb.
Yes.
It's like it doesn't suit his appearance.
I would love if that was Christopher Walken's voice. It goes in and it's like, you know, the shark. You know, it can wait. What are you looking for?
Oh, that.
Hold it.
That video, that interview with Foo Fighters where Dave Grohl's an impression of.
That was perfect.
Yeah. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen. Foo Fighters!
Foo Fighters! Oh!
Oh my god.
Her face is just like, just saw the pictures. Oh my god.
What was that meant to be, that shot?
Right.
That's
meant to be the sunset.
I think, or sunrise? I have no idea.
You want to see me? Oh man, thanks for coming. This is Jeff Dolly, he's CEO at Apex Communications.
This movie's got a bunch of accents that I have no idea where they're coming from.
Sure, thank you. Mr. Dolly has a large number of guests staying at the resort. Really?
Some of it just sounds like bad ADR, doesn't it?
I think I wouldn't be surprised if most of this was really badly dubbed.
The Harbour Master says you're bringing... That would be me.
I stopped by your office and they said that I might be able to catch you down here.
Well, you caught me.
Hi, I'm Kat Stone. I'm a marine biologist from San Diego Aquarium. I saw your message on the internet.
Well, that was fast.
She looks sort of like a Baywatch babe kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. It's like, you know, I've got a degree in, like, you know, marine biology, but I also got an amazing rack.
They're like the two things on her CV.
Degree in marine biology, awesome rack. You're hired. You're blonde too, even better.
What did you say
about
this?
So, once he's magically scanned his tooth with a camera, he sent the most ridiculously cheap-looking email I've ever seen to the website of sharks and says, like, does anyone recognise this tooth? I need some info, right? Mm. This is where we then suddenly were introduced to Tits McGee over there, all the way in California, called who's basically been played by a woman called Jenny McShane, right? Yeah.
She's just like your Baywatch type looking woman.
Yeah. And you know what's funny though? This is just me as well, I think. But she looks a bit like Tara Reid.
Mm.
Which is, again, if Sharknado was trying to poke fun of it, totally. So let's get someone look like that. Tara Reid. Perfect. So basically, she seems to be a sort of a like a fossil nut, right? She's a historian, and suddenly she sees this giant tooth on floating on the internet, the interwebs, and says, "Oh my God!"
OMG!
But I love how she said it because this. Okay, can I talk about her acting for a minute? It's fucking shit, isn't it?
Do you think she's? I don't think she's like ADR though. I think that's just her.
That's literally her.
Yeah.
Because I think the three main leads who are the Americans, those were not ADR'd.
Yeah, because you can tell. It just sounds like it's the recording of when they were there. You know?
So
like,
me, she's just a bit shit, right, this woman. And so Jenny McShane, because when she finds a tooth, she says, "Oh, my God." But she goes, "Oh, my God." And you're like, where's the enthusiasm?
She'd be so excited about it. It's a job, you know. It's like it's a big development.
Oh my God!
It's a big development in her career. This would be.
Yeah.
She'd be kind of really impressed and kind of like, wow.
Or she could be terrified, going, "Oh my God, if this is what I think it is, yeah, the world's in trouble." And you're like, you know, you think a bit of like gravitas or a bit of anything. No, she sounds monotone.
Oh my God.
The entire movie! Like, it's a bit later on where she's trying to save this girl who's like a parachute jumper, right? And she doesn't know how to fucking grab a woman, because every time she grabs her, like, her arm just slips. Like, it's like, what are her arms made out of? Vaseline? I know! And then the shark just eats the parachute lady.
Yeah,
and her face is her face of like terror and being upset is just
oh my god!
It's literally the same thing. Water slide. Woo.
They're going at it while going down the slide.
That's a new way of calling it. I need to slide it in. Hey! I don't know if that would actually be too fun or too distracting.
When you're on a water slide, you just want to enjoy the slide, surely.
You're on that. That was not working. Uh-oh. What was that dramatic shot? And then it just fades out. Yep.
Most of the deaths is like so pixelated, you can't really see what's
not
going
even
on.
That, even when it isn't, you can see like all you see is like a really cheap like pair of teeth. And stock footage and just blood and this one case a random woman just pulling off her mask. Like, why? And then more shark attacks occur. Like, there's one bit where it looks like a couple gets eaten while they're going on a water slide.
Their fetish is clearly like water. They're kind of like, let's just do it while going down the slide.
It's like, you can go down on me while going down on the slide. Yeah. And they reach the bottom, and right at the bottom, the fucking shark's actually waiting for them, just eats them both.
Yeah.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's funny, it's just like, its mouth is just completely over at the end of the slide.
Just waiting at the bottom of it. It's like it's nighttime, waiting for it, goes like, nom, 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 nom. Wait, it's coming. Nom, 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 nom. Ah! That would have been perfect. So, all that's happening, John Barrowman finally goes to what seems to be the head honcho, right, who owns the beach, and also the leader of Apex Communications. The Apex Communicator guy looks fucking weird. Mm. Like, he's got this, like, almost bulldog, pit bull kind of, like, face. He's, like, scrunch up and really fucking leathery. And then you've got the guy who owns the resort, who's a fucking creep.
Always got, like, this bimbo on his arm.
Yeah, it's always like this bimbo. The first shot we see of them together is the bimbo sitting up right next to the resort owner. And all he's doing while talking a very serious threat about these sharks are, You know, we have a situation involving possible shark attacks, and the apex guy going, look, we can't do anything about that right now. We're very focused on this whole opening of the cable thing and so on and so forth. But it's like, yeah, but the shark's eating the cable. While all that's happening, this guy is just stroking this bimbo's knee the entire time. Yeah. It's not even like, you know, it's not like putting your hand over it and being seductive. No, it's just going like,
It's like, What was so funny about the scene was the fact that it's only later we kind of realised that that's what it was, him that was doing it, because of the way it's edited and the way you can't tell who's, you're like, you're thinking, yeah, you can, because there's no evidence, like, from above the table when they're looking, he doesn't look at her at any point, yeah, to for the audience to know, oh, that's he's doing that, yeah, so it could just be anyone's hand on her knee.
What, how funny would it have been if we was like, well, I didn't touch her, who fucking touched her? It's really shittily edited. The movie itself is not usually badly edited. I think it's mostly because, you know, they had to work off what they got. The shark attacks, trying to hide the shark attacks, that was really shittily edited. I couldn't fucking tell what was happening half the time. And that one is just a marvel of what the fuckery, right?
I think with the shark attacks, mostly they edit it in a way deliberately to confuse the audience so that they can try and hide bad special effects and stuff like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah, like really bad motion blur and, yeah, stuff like that. And it's just kind of, it's kind of making you feel a bit gross. It feels a bit sickly.
I don't like playing games, Kat.
Neither do I. So what do you say we both get what we want? I can study the shark and you can protect your beaches.
Beast cruising around in circles all day.
What? Ah, that's the answer.
Don't be such a bitch!
Right. But at the first sign of trouble, I'm taking it out.
Fair enough.
Uh-oh.
Smart ass.
Well, excuse me.
I love it. All this has been dubbed over. Someone had to direct that. And so, like, can you just say excuse me, but be really sassy about it? Well, excuse me.
Hey, guys, check this out. I was going through yesterday's footage.
Yeah, because normally, like, ADR can be more flat, can't it, than the actual, yeah, recorded dialogue. So, yeah, normally this, but it's gone the opposite way. They've kind of, like, emphasised it too much.
And they've accented, and they've made some things minor, and then some accented weird words sometimes.
We're getting a signal. West 18.
Hey, you guys get the cameras. I'm
going to
check out the boat.
Yes, ma'am.
Butt shot!
Don't think I don't know you're checking out my ass for anything.
Oh, come on.
I like her.
Fairness, you like anything with a pair of tits, man.
That's true.
It is.
But you're the ass man, remember? And you do anything for that ass.
Like it ain't right, man.
Come on.
Those two are going to get eaten so hard.
Although for 1 minute, yeah, that it wasn't, you know, when it panned down, I thought it was just the cameraman just likes her ass. Like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to cut to them looking at her.
Do you know what I would have liked, right, if you didn't cut to the other two guys, right, and the camera pans down and you keep walking and then she turns around and say, and then another butt shot.
Toys are actually what it's all about.
Oh my god.
This,
just
this here,
oh,
the underwater lipstick camera.
Looks pretty smart to me.
Hey! And then this is where, you know, Tits McGee finally comes in from California. And I've got to keep calling her Tits McGee because that's all I can think of, right? So she goes and sees Tits McGee and...
It's not at all sexist.
I'm sorry, but she's literally just hired because she's a blonde and got tits. This is literally the only reason why she was hired. She has no acting talent in the slightest. She's got like this face. That's all she is. It's fucking brilliant.
I mean, we're seeing quite a pixelated version, but still, I don't think if we saw a higher quality version, we'd see any more definition in her face.
No, not at all. So that's the thing. It's like the leads themselves, other than maybe a little bit on John Barrowman's part, do not really add anything to the comedy because they're just they're not really good actors, right? Mm. Although the mentor guy is actually not half bad because he just
As I said, he's like a familiar actor. I've seen in lots of things, and there's nothing wrong with his performance. He's fine, you know. He's probably another one like John Barrowman. He probably regrets doing that movie because he's done some respectable stuff afterwards. Yeah,
because the mentor guy, he ends up, he actually is working for Apex, right? Because he is, I think he's like head of security.
Yeah,
or like head of construction kind of thing, because he was Navy trained and that kind of thing. So he's sort of like in charge to a point of the construction and the safety of everyone keeping an eye on the wires, right? Who happens to be John Barrowman's good buddy, who also happens to also run a really freaking cool yellow submarine.
Yeah, it's just like the Beatles' yellow submarine.
Yeah, it's just yellow as well. Like, it's proper bright yellow. It's awesome, right? So later on, it turns out she's going off to try and track the Megalodon. So she goes, tracks the Megalodon, and you've got this awesomely stupid shot. I think you remember this one, where they both go out of the van, and they're about to go towards the beach, towards the harbour.
Yeah.
And you've got the two guys, them two media guys. One's the cameraman, one who's just a douchebag.
Right. Yeah, what's the other guy do? There's a camera guy, and the other guy is just there just to poke fun at people.
Yeah, and also just to be really sort of, like, gross pervy on the Tits McGee. So,
because all he seems to do is have a Sega Game Gear.
Yeah! But at the same time, just trying to take pictures of her butt and really being a bit handsy and a bit like,
You think, I mean, these are the guys that she's chosen to work with.
Yeah, so it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Why did you pick two clear perverts? Right? Because one person claimed to be a boobs man, but the other one claims to be an ass man. And when that was happening, this is the great bit, and this is the thing that I wish they did it like this, right? The camera sees her get out of the van, and then the camera just pans down to her butt, right? And we just saw for a second the cameraman just being a fucking pervert, right?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to them, and it's butt guy who's looking at that thing, right? Yeah. But this is how I think I would have done it. It would have been fucking genius and very meta. It would have broken like the fourth wall. The camera goes over. The camera then goes down to her butt, keeps walking for a while, and then she says the line that she would say to the other guy. Stops. Like, look, I know. It's like, I know you. I know. It's like, I know you. I know you're looking at my ass. And it's like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And it'd just be like, it's like almost telling the audience, like, I know you're looking at my butt. Stop looking at my butt. Eyes up here, sir. Yeah. Eyes up here.
That's the kind of thing that would have been like in a parody movie, isn't it? Though?
Definitely. Yeah. Mm. So, John Barrowman confronts Tits McGee and saying, like, you're here for a different reason, aren't you? You're lying to me. The shark attacks are getting worse, right? We've got so many people getting eaten. And then it's revealed that Tits McGee has been researching and says, like, you know that tooth you found? It's not a regular shark. It's a megalodon. Mm. It's a megalodon. It's a fucking huge ass dinosaur, right? It's the ancestor of the great white shark. And it says, like, oh yeah, it's like these ones can go as big as 70 feet long and have a mouth span of about 10 feet. So you're thinking, fuck, right? And that's the first thing we think of, fuck, this is huge. But then you think to yourself, like, that's not that big at the beginning. But then it's like, oh, the only one you got is a baby, it's only 15 feet. Mm. Still fucking terrifying, though. 15-foot-long megalodon, big fucking chompers. So, yeah, okay. So John Barrowman's pissed off, saying, you lied to me. I thought we were going to be friends. Whatever. So afterwards, they have their conversation, and Tits McGee goes on an adventure to go and find the now-tracked megalodon, because she's now found a tracker and put it on it, right? And John Barrowman reluctantly goes with her because he says, like, the moment that shark goes anywhere, I'm going to kill it. It's like, yeah, whatever, right, whatever.
He's like attempting to be macho at this point. Like.
Proper macho. I am the big man here. I'm the big dog. I'm nobody's bitch. That guy, that Mexican guy who's actually a Bulgarian, yeah, that's my bitch. I've got bitches. I ain't nobody's bitch.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's a parasailer. There's a parasailer. Oh, this is going to be perfect. Oh. They're drunk too. Oh, this is going to be perfect. Come on, Barryman!
Hey!
Hey, hold the boat!
Hold on,
hold on,
hold on. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Uh-oh. No. Oh, fucking Pedro's gonna get devoured.
We're not gonna make it. Shit!
Close the beaches.
People pay a lot of money to come down here. They expect to use everything, including the beaches.
You cannot let people swim in the water when there's a shark out there!
Yeah, damn it!
Shit.
Call
Why
the...
did it sound like a gangster black guy at that point?
We're going to be calling that the Barryman shit now, right?
Shit!
This is the best.
Okay.
And then the shark turns his attention to these two drunk-ass people on a boat with a parasailer,
yeah.
Right? And this is where they introduce the bit with the parasailing and stuff. So the shark goes and attacks the parasailers. And I love it because the Mexican guy, those two, they're like two Mexican guys, Pedro and all that, they're really drunk, like, whoa!
I love those guys, they're hilarious. They're like, anytime everyone's trying to signal them, even though if it's like, really like, dangerous,
get off,
they're
get
just
off.
Going... Way!
And you're like, move the boat! Way! There's a shark! Way! So stupid. And so the Megalodon finally attacks it, and Pedro gets eaten. And the other boat, and then what happens is the shark, in a weird, clever way, bites the cable, starts dragging the cable down to take the parasailer out.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, shit. And this is when Pedro falls into the water. I love this. When Pedro falls into the water, we get introduced for the first time, John Barryman saying shit. And it is the best I've ever heard.
You're talking about the shit.
He's holding a pair of binoculars and he goes, shit. And every time he says shit, It's with some bizarre emphasis. Like, shit.
Shit. But the thing was, when we were watching it, that became such a thing that we now... Is that going to be an in-joke now, isn't it? Like, every
the
time...
The Barham and shit. Yes, I'm going to call it the Barham and shit. Oh, fucking hell. So he says, shit. And he goes, right, we've got to go and get the parasailer.
And he goes, no, doesn't it? Remember, he says... It's dragging her out to sea. They're already out to sea.
They're already in the sea. They're like quite deep into the sea. Like, dialogue lines, people. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, surely the line should have been, he's dragging her further out to sea. Like,
drag her out to sea. We are at the sea. So finally gets dragged out to sea, apparently. And so the boat's trying to go and try and get that, right? So try to save the parasailer, but fails, right? Because Tits McGee's got, like, fucking Vaseline badge or something. Because he just can't grab her. So she's got the shotgun, she's got everything sorted, and she's ready to go out and fucking kill that shark, right?
Yeah.
She's realising it's no longer something that needs to be preserved, it needs to be killed. Mm. So to go out again to try and kill the shark, right? But the shark's now got a bit of... vengeance, a bit of anger, a bit of whatever, because it starts attacking the boat, throwing chump, it starts attacking the boat, knocking the boat right over, and starts eating the hull of the boat. Like, this is the thing, like, she's throwing the fucking bolts shoot out.
It's like the rivets in the boat just pop off like champagne corks.
It's like, oh shit! That was awesome though, because it's like, God, the shark's got strong and quick. So starts beating it. And then so the shark goes into the hull. Like, she eats a hole in the hull. And she's, like, in the corner going, oh, no, oh, no. Even though she's got a shotgun in her hand, she still doesn't know how to fucking, oh, no. And then John Barrowman, who goes down as well, after, like, everyone's getting knocked out, is like, oh, no. John Barrowman's going, I'm going to save you. I'm going to whack you with this baseball bat.
He's just proper, like, bitch slapping the shark.
Die! Die! Why don't you die? It goes on for a long time as well.
Yeah, it's got the sound of it. It's like a slap, isn't it? Like a psh,
a psh, a psh. And you're like, fuck's sake. And he's going for a while. You're thinking like, dude's not doing anything. It's fucking not doing anything, man. It's not doing anything. What are you trying to get, love? Yeah!
She did say I was going to get him a shotgun.
No, but I wasn't sure entirely if that is it. Look at that. Yeah! No! Oh, God!
Just fucking pierced through the metal.
Is this in the fuck? You're just going to eat it. Come on!
What
is this? Get the shotgun!
Get the shotgun.
Shotgun. Shoot it. Shoot it. Yeah.
You're extinct, fucker.
Nice. And so Titch McGee finally gets a gull to get a shotgun, puts the shotgun in the shark's mouth and says, you just got extinct, fucker.
I think that's meant to be like, they were going for like a, you know, iconic line, like, I don't know,
yeah,
smile, you son of a bitch, or you're terminated, fucker, that kind of thing. But it just didn't sound good, did it?
For
one thing, if you're going to do an epic line like that, you need a close-up of that person. Like,
yeah, and it wasn't even that. It didn't look intimidating enough. It's like, you want to really pay attention. So he shoots the shark. And guts explode in the back. And I love it at the end of it where
No, but that's it. You just got, like, someone through, like, some Dolmio sword off the side of the ship.
I love that. It's like, it looks says splat. And then I love at the end of it, you point this out. It's like when the shark's still the shotgun's still in the shark's mouth, and she just kind of just nudges it away and just yeah. like, boop, it just like, floats off. Get out of the way.
Get out.
That was brilliant. Just fucking ate it. Now that's a big shark. Oh my god, that's fucking brilliant. I was waiting for this.
You think it'd have a bit of indigestion now.
You think like, I ate a whole fucking boat and a person. Oh! Didn't really chew on it!
He goes first,
of course. Oh no!
Hold on!
Hold on, John Barrowman! Same big rack. Go on.
Go,
Greg, go. Fucking hell.
So Mommy Shark appears, and literally eats a whole boat. I love it because you're thinking like, oh, you know, the small shark we've just seen. I've seen a few people. It's not much of my seriousness, whatever it is. Suddenly, this big fuck off shark eats a whole boat in one gulp.
Yeah, it's a proper like, yelp.
Chomp. Eats the whole fucking thing, right? And that is fucking brilliant. All right, and everyone's like, oh, shit. It's like, well, about time.
Shit.
I love it. Because, again, her reaction, Tits McGee's reaction is, oh, my God. It's like, the shark ain't a boat. Be more terrified. So by this point, everything else has gone like that. And then the cameraman and the pervert fall out of the boat. And they also get eaten by the shark using the same visual effects, because it's just photoshopped in it, which is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, when they're in is it a dinghy or something?
No, they're not in a dinghy. They fall out. They didn't fall into a dinghy. They just were floating in the water, just a bunch of floating heads. And it's just photoshopped in there into this patch of water, and it just put into the shark's mouth, and just now they're eaten.
Yeah, they just kept reusing that, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Then the mommy shark leaves a fucking huge tooth. That's the size of your face.
Yeah, because that was embedded in, like, the piece of debris, wasn't it? Like, and he goes, like, I'm going to take this. Okay. Evidence.
This is evidence. This is to prove it. We need to close the beaches. And so, by that point, he goes right to the Mexican's office and just goes, poof. And so, like, that's my evidence. That's the thing. That's what eating all the fucking people. And on top of that, it's because the fucking electric cable that you're building around from this beach onward is luring this big fuck-off megalodon.
Yeah.
Close the beaches. And he's like, I don't believe you. So, how do you not believe it? What the fuck did he get that tooth from?
It's a paperweight.
It's a paperweight. Did you get a... You got that from an art and craft store, didn't you? So, does that. Says no. John Barrowman quits. And then, so John Barrowman and Tits McGee... it does all this kind of stuff, right? And says, like, we're going to kill that shark, right? In the meantime, the mentor is currently... And the mentor is working for Apex, is now doing hacking, to find out how much Apex knows about the Megalodon attacks, right?
I love that scene when he's hacking, it's great. He's just, like, so American, though. He's, like, American flag behind him. He's in a vest.
Yes!
He's got, like, tight vest top on.
Yes!
American flag behind him. Hacking for the USA.
Hacking. I'm doing this for being patriotic, motherfucker. Oh, it's fucking brilliant. And so then by that point, he goes to the Apex's communications boss's office, and he has this fucking amazing rant It's like, bull fucking shit! You fucking knew about it, man! You fucking knew about it!
You fucking knew!
Get in here!
You knew. And you didn't warn them.
Calm down, Chuck. I don't know what you're talking about.
Bullshit! It's all right here. The diving accidents. 7 men dead. Including my friend. You knew something was dangerous down there and you let them dive anyway.
They knew it was risky. There were things that weren't accounted for out there.
Bull fucking shit! You knew something.
I love this guy!
And you covered it up!
Hold him back.
Tommy, when the press gets a hold of you, they're gonna rip you a new asshole.
Go tell your story. Who would believe you? A disgruntled employee with stolen confidential documents? My lawyers will have a field day with you. They are the real sharks.
This is so funny. Not by a long shot.
Get him out of here.
This is brilliant.
His voice is just so weird.
It doesn't match his body.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. It doesn't. It doesn't even like.
Man. You there?
Change in like voice or diameter or anything. The mentor, you know, basically goes and says, "I know a way we can kill it," and it just launches out and says, "We got a missile, right?" It's like, "Where do you get that fucking missile? I ain't gonna tell you where I got that fucking missile. You got a fucking missile." Okay.
It's like questionable guy that he's got this explosive.
It's like saying, I know you have
just
guns.
Just in case.
It's like, I know you have guns, but why the fuck would you have a missile? It's fucking brilliant. So he has his missile and says, like, right, if we aim that missile at the giant shark, he'll kill it. Right? This leads to probably the best, to me, the thing that got me into this movie in the first place. The granddaddy of pickup lines. The most awkward, ham-fisted thing on the planet. And I love it. John Barrowman and Tits McGee are literally getting say, like, you know, are being told by the mentor, be in the morning, don't be late. Okay?
Yeah. And they're just kind of like saying goodbye, aren't they, for the evening? Come winding down, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, on the dock or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me too, but, you know, I'm really wired. What do you say I take you home and eat your pussy?
The thing is, I mean, I asked you, is that just improvised by John Barrowman? And you said it is.
Yes, it's an improvised line because that was supposed to be like they did so many takes that day, right? Yeah. That they thought, like, you know what? He wants to liven the situation up. So he made the joke just so he can make the, you know, Jenny McShane laugh. But the director loved it so much.
Just kept it in?
They kept it in. And not only did they say keep it in, they added a sex scene. Just so it made sense. So they ended up just, they were supposed to meet up and bonk properly, so we should have some footage. But they just kept that in, and suddenly, right after that shot, legitimately right after that line, they're banging in the shower.
Well, the thing is, it's really funny, really, really funny. But it's out of place because it's like something that would happen in a parody, but the movie isn't trying to be a parody. For that moment, it's like a parody. And it's just so odd that it kind of just, it's an odd choice.
And it also is completely out of character for Ben Carpenter.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, they have a sort of love-hate relationship, right? That's the whole point with, you know, John Barrowman and Tits McGee. They have a love-hate relationship. The idea is sort of like, look, I think I'm falling for you, but you're also a humongous prick, right? That's the thing. The fact that he literally just goes flat out, front and centre, straight to the point, I want to eat you out. And she goes, okay! And just bangs in the shower!
Yeah, I suppose the only thing I can think of with the argument is the fact that it's so blunt that it makes her laugh. That is kind of like,
the
humour.
It's like, you know what? You made me laugh. And because you made me laugh, you can go home and eat my pussy. Tits McGee's got a crossbow and is in a helicopter. to put a tracking device on to the.
She's like probably larking about with that crossbow, like shooting the. It's like she shoots an arrow like between like John Barrowman's legs.
And again, another random bit. It's like, how the fuck do you know how to use a crossbow? Where the fuck did you get a crossbow? Apparently now she has a crossbow. So she got a crossbow with a tracking device that's going to have the missile launch, right? So what they're going to do then is, John Barrowman and the mentor are going to go in the submarine, and they're going to blow up the cable, blow up the wire, and get it sorted. Let's blow up this fucking cable, right? And blowing that up will lure the shark there, because being tracked by the thing, and they can launch the missile and kill the fucking shark.
Yeah,
makes sense. Logical plan. The plan makes sense. What fucked it up is, you know, the resort owner and Apex Communications decided to have a fucking boat party. Like, with all these fancy schmucks, and they go into the middle of the fucking sea where there's a giant fucking megalodon, and the resort owner knows it, and the Apex communication guy knows it, and are just gonna kill about 50 people because they're fucking, like, rich. But what I love is, like, suddenly, I think one of the guys goes and says, like, but what happens with the shark? He's like, do not worry. Takes out a bag. It's full of fucking grenades. Another question is, where the fuck did you get those grenades? It's like the guy with the missile. Where'd he get the missile? Where'd he get the fucking grenades?
Who knows?
Who knows? That's our question.
There it is! Throw a grenade!
God damn it, throw a grenade!
Jesus, what the hell was that?
Toss
another one!
This guy just got a bag full of fucking grenades. Just fucking chuck it.
And it's like throwing him really close to the boat as well.
Yeah. They put a bit of force in it.
God damn it.
Oh my god, no!
Two, three, two. Two on that.
God damn it, John Barrowman. That's a strained face if I ever saw coming. It's like the most ugliest sex face. That's what it looked like.
You're on your own.
What a cow!
Oh.
Well, you kind of deserved it. You fucking bitch.
Brilliant. This is a hungry shark.
Fucking great.
I'm gonna go around again.
And then, while that's happening, the Megalodon's now being lured to the bad guy's yacht.
Mm.
And this is where all the famous visual effects shots come from.
Yeah.
Because they're all shit. Because a giant shark eats a dinghy, eats a random person, eats, oh no, it's not the random person, the owner of the resort gets eaten by jumping off, when he jumps off, by stealing the life jacket off his squeeze.
That is great though, because like he's like, yeah, fuck off, love, I'm gonna escape, and just jumps off the boat straight into the shark's mouth. It's like a perfect comeuppance for him.
It's perfect. And then one after that, the shark goes and eats a dinghy,
yeah,
and just keeps pounding on the boat.
And that's the same shot again, isn't it?
Same shot again, yeah. from a while ago. They use the same fucking shot. It's fantastic.
With the big shark. And like eating something, and it's gonna like
gobble, gobble, yeah. Right?
And it's just that time it's the dinghy with the people in it.
Yeah. Tits McGee's fucked up. The mentor guy survives barely by the skin of his teeth. But then by that point, because all the grenades, the tracking beams beakers off, right?
Yeah.
So by that point, it says the shark's still around. The Apex communication boss gets on a jet ski, which we had no idea there was a jet ski in the boat.
And he's like, yeah, I'm going to get out of here. Fuck you guys, I'm getting out of here. And he just launches off the boat in this jet ski straight into the mouth.
And the shark's sideways this time. And it's like, it's, ah! It's like, and I love it, because the jet ski's going full speed.
And it's like proper right in the mouth. It's great. And the shark, how could it eat all that crap?
No idea. It does what I mean by I feel like the shark is constantly changing size, right? Mm. Because you've got a dinghy, but you're eating a jet ski, then you ate a fucking boat! Like, what? How big are you? How big are all these things? And how big is your fucking belly if you can eat all this shit at the same time? Because even for, like, a shark attack, let's say a shark attack, right? You might still eat a shark. A shark could eat, like, an arm or a leg. And it's pretty full.
Mm.
This guy, the shark, eats, like, a boat, a speed, several dinghies, a jet ski, about 25 people. And it's
and
still...
And a partridge.
In a pear tree. And still is hungry.
Jesus. Yeah, it just gets up.
Come on, Ben. Come on, John Barron. There we go.
Okay. Come on, kid. You okay? Come on, you're okay.
Megala
who?
Da 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 da.
Megala who?
Ah, that's so dumb. People have died, right? So,
no. That's like, you know, the end of He-Man where they all laugh. They all, someone says a joke and then they all kind of go.
Yeah, it's like a freeze frame, like. John Barrowman now has the missile left and he goes, you know what? I'm going to do something sneaky. So what he does, he sends the missile out, but he does it in a way to send the missile back onto the submarine. So he launches it out for it to turn around and hit the submarine. So he does that, so therefore the giant shark... So he purposely lures the giant shark to eat the submarine. But that's the thing. The submarine is smaller than a boat.
Yeah.
So why did it not eat the whole thing?
Mm.
So it chomps on it. And so John Barrowman gets out of the submarine just in the nick of time before it explodes. And the missile explosion is huge.
Mm.
It's nuclear. It's like almost like a mushroom cloud of water like pops up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then they find one surviving dinghy with the mentor and Tits McGee somehow is finally back on the thing, right? And I love this bit. They pull John Barrowman out. They go into they're on the dinghy. John Barrowman survives. And everyone's like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And then literally the guy, John Barrowman, goes and says, Megala who?
And they're all like, yeah, ha, 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 ha. People have just died.
People have died a terrible death. Let's wrap it up by you saying your overall impression of the movie, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, and whether you think this is what I believe is the granddaddy of bad shark movies, or could you argue that it got worse or better as it went?
No, I mean, I liked the fact that it sort of lures you in to begin with, thinking, oh, it's an average movie, and then it just kind of gets worse as it goes along. But then it does actually save the best stuff till last. So it's not like you ever want to abandon it when you're watching it. You're not thinking like, well, you know, I'll just turn it off now, because it's kind of, it leaves you expecting there's going to be some really funny stuff later on.
Yeah.
So you kind of just, you linger with it. And because there's enough going on for you to, like, you know, find funny, you just kind of linger on, and then it pays off that you kind of kept with it, because at the end, it's just
it's gone bonkers by the end of it.
Yeah.
Ah, I agree. I think, like, it's a movie that lures you into a false sense of security, thinking, like, it's just actually a pretty decent movie. But then it gets worse and worse and worse. Like, you can see the budget you were losing the budget as it went.
But it's like the whole car crash thing as well. You can't stop watching it. You can't look away. You got to just keep...
You know, you get little bits and bobs. Like, first you introduce the Tits McGee, and it's like, you can't act. This is interesting. Oh, that's some bad dubbing. Oh, there's some mariachi music. Oh.
There's just little treasures going, like, trickling through all the way that kind of make you kind of just keep watching it.
So, yeah, and I think, like, let's compare this to, like, all the other famous Bad Shark movies, which are a dozen. Mm. There's so many Bad Shark
films. I haven't seen many of them, so it's difficult for me to compare, but, like, having seen one of the most infamous, then that's probably a good place to start, but...
Mm. Would you think that people should watch this before they consider watching things like Sharknado or Sharktopus or whatever?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I would say it's a good... Because, obviously, like we were saying, it must have been a starting point for those parodies and inspired a lot of that stuff. So you may as well, if you're going to watch a shark parody, you may as well just start with the one that inspired those parodies. Yeah, I'd recommend it to people who... are aware of, like, movies, like, you're not going to get a good movie here, but, like, at the same time, you have to be watching it to appreciate bad movies, and not everyone does. Some people kind of, they want to watch movies that know they're bad, you know, like, and this movie doesn't, but it's perfect for that, because... They're the best bad movies, aren't they?
Yeah, the best bad films are the ones that are not aware they're doing it badly. Or if they do, they're not doing it right to the very end. Like, for example, this is why this one went straight to DVD or straight to video, because they probably knew what they had with the stinker, right? At the end of it, they probably, when they were editing, that's really shit. But what's good about it is, like, all the other ones are just too self-aware. They know all this stuff. I mean, like, House Shark, of course you know it's not going to be taken seriously. Mm. Shark Attack 3 Megalodon, I'm not expecting Oscar-worthy, but it doesn't sound like a joke already. Mm. So don't go into that one thinking this is a joke movie. This is supposed to be a serious movie, but it's done just the right amount there. Just, it's a...
Bellissimo.
It's a perfect kind of shitty sushi. All right? So, I recommend watching it. So, next time round, we're going to be we've recorded this one fairly late, and we're obviously fairly late due to summer, but it's September, and September is my birthday month.
Yeah.
So... Edward suggested that I take the reins off. So I have no real idea what I'm going to be watching. So you are the host next time.
Okay.
So I don't have to do anything. I just have to come in, and you're the one who opens the show, finds the facts, and shows me the movie. And I'm a... Is it going to be really bad? Like, is it basically because I'm going to be... Isn't my birthday to the point I'm thinking, like, hey, it's my birthday. You know, all those movies you showed me that were shit. I'm going to show you the worst one.
No, I you know what I'm like? Because you're the master of the bad movies. I'll probably find one that's bad but kind of good as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to reveal too much right about now. But it's probably going to be something 80s for me, because you know how much I love the 80s.
Nice. Okay, right. So, I can't wait. So... Until next time, keep an eye on your trash. There might be some treasure in there. See you guys around.
See you guys.
This podcast has been an Enigmatic production. It's hosted by Johan Schpaul and music by Edward Harvey. If you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Buzzsprout. Share it, like it, write a review. For more information on our other projects, check out our website, www.enigmaticproductions.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it around with movie lovers you know, maybe add a star rating or write a good review. All of this helps with the algorithm and provides us with more opportunities to reach the ears to a whole new bunch of bad film fanatics. Want to find out more about us? Then head over to our socials where we provide sneak peeks and up-to-date news on everything nostalgic and trashy. You can find our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages in the description. So please, follow us. See you next time, cinephiles.